Welcome to the Sportscast, July 1st, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Last night, it began. NBA free agency day one. A lot of shockers. A few surprises. We knew about it. A few trades that we didn't know about. Teams that were rescuing their rosters, trying to fill up those holes and also to sustain their teams from a blowout. We'll see what happens because it's still going on. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about that, Mr. Kailu Borden, welcome to the Sportscast.
Good morning. Good morning.
Kailu, last night was unbelievable. Tell us your brief recap of what happened last night.
Klay Thompson returned to Golden State. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving went to Brooklyn. You had Jimmy Butler get traded to Miami. You had Kristaps Porzingis sign an extension thing. Even Dame Lillard got his extension to stay with Portland. Tobias Harris returned back to Philadelphia. I mean, it was just crazy yesterday. I mean, D'Angelo Russell going to Golden State, Al Horford going to Philadelphia, Brogdon going to Indiana, which is a huge pickup for Indiana, by the way. Bogdanovich going to Utah, Julius Randle going to Knicks. So just a lot of news yesterday. It's just crazy.
We'll start with really the Brooklyn Nets. Last night, Kevin Durant chose the Nets. They announced Woj from ESPN announced it about an hour before free agency. He signed for 4 years, $164 million. Kyrie Irving, 4 years, $141 million. That was a given. We kind of knew he was going to Brooklyn. And surprisingly, Dwayne Jordan, 4 years for $140 million. What were your thoughts about that move?
What, DeAndre Jordan?
Yes.
I thought it was good because Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan is really close. So, obviously, Brooklyn is loaded, even though you're not going to have Kevin Durant next year because he's out with the Achilles, of course. But they have Kyrie Irving. You still have LeVert. You have good general manager in Sean Marks. You have a good coach in Kenny Atkinson. It's a good system. They made the playoffs. They lost to Philadelphia. So, you still have Caris LeVert. You still have Kyrie Irving. And you still can have pieces. You still have Jared Allen. You still have Spencer Dinwiddie. So I think that's a nice team. They can win a round or two. They won't be in a championship picture because they don't have Kevin Durant yet until the following season. But that's a solid team. They have depth. DeAndre Jordan is going to help them, help Jared Allen, his growth. So I think that's a solid team. And after next year, they can be in that championship hunt.
Now, there was talk about it last night that, what Brooklyn Nets did to sign Kevin Durant was a little bit risky, but also I've been hearing the word irresponsible because we don't know what he's going to look like after he comes back. What are your thoughts about that?
I think one of the things that I saw was the team physician of the Brooklyn Nets actually did Kevin Durant surgery. So if anyone would know, and his name is Martin O'Malley, he's a really good physician in New York. Handles foot injury. So I think if anyone would know, it would be the Brooklyn Nets. I think it was a very calculated gamble by them because 3 years ago, they went from not having any first round picks after trading them all to the Celtics, which led to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And now this was their opportunity. They made the playoffs last year. They lost to the Sixers. You know, this is the opportunity. They're going to come up. Brooklyn is a home of 2.7 million people. So this is the opportunity for them to really make a statement. I mean, obviously the Knicks end up with Bobby Porter, Julius Randle, Ty Gibson, Reggie Bullock, and Wayne Ellington. This is the time they can really own the borough and own the city. So I think this is a huge operation for them to try to, get better because the Knicks, they just stink.
Yeah, the Knicks did not offer Kevin Durant the max deal. I've heard Dolan did not want to offer him because of his injury situation, and they were like, I think they were just a meeting away, but they told they're going to pass up on that. Obviously, the Knicks have had a history of signing injured players, like Stoudemire. Came in probably injured like the first year and did not do well afterwards. Do you think that was a smart move of the Knicks?
I don't think it was a calculated gamble by the Knicks, because here's why. Because even with Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo, they were never as talented as Kevin Durant. And the Knicks can't sit here and act like they didn't want Kevin Durant, because they already knew the medical reports. They already knew what was out. I mean, he was in New York. They already knew the medical reports. You know why they're going to play the medical report game? Because even though he's coming off an Achilles, a very serious injury, the Knicks can't act like they weren't dreaming of Kevin Durant, Zion, and Kyrie. I mean, this was a year in which they won 17 games. They traded Kristaps Porzingis, and now they end up with this. This, you know, this doesn't look good for them. They're going to sell it to the public, as they were not willing to offer Kevin Durant the max. But this is what they dreamed of. This is why they had 17 wins. Otherwise, they would have just went straight with the rebuild if they weren't targeting Kevin Durant.
Instead of Durant, they offered Julius Randle for 3 years for $63 million. What do you think about that move?
I like Julius Randle because it's obviously he's going to have to fit it in the young core. So I think Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox, Taj Gibson can help him off the bench. So I think what you're going to see from the Knicks is they'll pick up a lot of veterans on deals that they can get done. Don't overpay them. Just get, you know, get some veterans in there that's going to teach RJ Barrett and your young core, Kevin Knox. Hopefully he develops next year. So I think what you're going to see from the Knicks is they'll just use the cap, because you can't, I don't think you could save all the cap. So I think that they're going to, you're going to see them go after a lot of veterans to fill that roster, because they need to put it together a respectable team, considering they had 17 wins last year and they're not going to get any of the big names. And then the second tier guys.
Yeah, Knicks did not leave empty-handed yesterday. Randle is not the best player in the world or anything, but he's a good filler, I guess, for now. We'll see what the Knicks are doing. With the Warriors, last night had a move as well. They got D'Angelo Russell to a four-year, $117 million max contract. Which actually he signed with the Nets and then traded to the Warriors. Obviously, he will take place of the Klay Thompson while he's out. What do you think about that move?
I thought for D'Angelo Russell, I actually didn't like the move, obviously because I'm a little biased with the Lakers, but I also felt like D'Angelo Russell didn't really like the move, going to go to State's a good culture. But here's why I didn't like the move, because if and when Klay Thompson comes back, he's not going to be starting as a young player. I mean, he wants to be in the championship, but I feel like he could have went to a situation that's a little more geared to him, because I think D'Angelo Russell, I don't know how much of it is he going to be able to play off the ball, because I've never really seen D'Angelo. Last year was his breakout season. I would like to see him continue on that. I don't know how he's going to play off the ball. I don't think he's going to be the second option. I think he's probably going to be the third option, which is good. But I wanted to see him go off last season, because Draymond Green is still there. So I don't think he's really going to be a second option. I think he's going to be forced to be the third option, which might be good for him. But and then when Klay Thompson comes back, I don't know how that's necessarily going to work with Steph. Klay is going to start in March. So we'll see how that works out for D'Angelo Russell.
You don't see those three starting together?
No, I think Steph and Klay is going to start, of course. But, you know, D'Angelo Russell is going to buy him time, because – of course, Klay's going to be out with the injury, but I don't see how that's going to work. Now, if you have Iguodala, I don't think that you can start necessarily all three.
Speaking about Iguodala, Iguodala was traded to the Grizzlies to clear up some cap space. What do you think about that move?
I think I was hearing Memphis. I initially threw a joke, like, you know, he sacrificed, you know, a championship, and then they sent him to Memphis, and they couldn't do like they did with D'Angelo Russell, do him a solid, send him to a playoff team. But I actually read further and said that it may be interesting, because if the Lakers do indeed land Kawhi, that could be one of the targets Andre Iguodala off the bench. So I think if he gets bought out, definitely the Lakers are an option for him off the bench, because we only have four players right now. So I think definitely bringing in a veteran and a Finals MVP in 2015 would definitely be great for us. If we can. And if he stays on the Grizzlies, he can obviously help Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and a young core really establish themselves and try to grow and, you know, set a solid foot in this league.
Yeah, there is rumors that that Iguodala could get traded to the Lakers or, you know, to Los Angeles, obviously. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Iguodala, I think, was tweeting. I think he was expecting the trade. So it was really interesting, Twitter, and how these things were starting to move. Another surprise that I saw was J.J. Redick going to the Pelicans. How about that?
Yeah, I was really surprised by this. I actually did not see this coming. I was really surprised by this, and I think it's great for the Pelicans. David Griffin's first 2 months on the job, I have this courtesy of Jeff Duncan. He's a columnist at NewOrleans.com. David Griffin, you know, first 2 months on the job, he's drafted Zion. He's drafted Hayes, Alexander Walker, Sylvia. He signed J.J. Redick. He's acquired Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, a Cleveland first-round pick, the Lakers 2021 top eight. He's acquired a 2022 pick, 2023, 2024, 2025. He's hired Swin Cash. He's hired Nelson. He's hired another generator. And he's also dumped Solomon Hill's salary. So I think this is great for them. You got Zion there. You got, you know, Lonzo Ball there. You got Brent Ingram. You got a rotation playing Josh Hart. You drafted Jackson Hayes. I mean, this is just, I mean, the Pelicans have a lot of talent in their roster. I obviously think they're going to be on a come up. They got some shooters. They got some young players. The Pelicans are going to be a team to look out for. You know, if you're a veteran team and you're good and you're having an off night, the Pelicans can beat you. They're going to be running up and down the court. And Alvin Gentry is really going to install a system where it's going to work for them. So I think this is a great move for New Orleans.
Yeah, Redick will definitely bring that veteran leadership in that team, in that core. Of course, he did it with the Sixers. And speaking about the Sixers, I think they had also had a good night. Al Horford signed for 4 years, $109 million, and Tobias Harris as well. What'd you think about those moves?
I thought Al Horford was a great pickup because he's obviously someone who Embiid had trouble with in the playoffs. Embiid had trouble with him. I think it's a great move. I think Tobias Harris, 5 years, $180 million, is a huge, you know, win for them in the short term, but I think it's one of those contracts where they might regret it at the end of the deal, because just considering how much of the teams have traded Tobias Harris, they've always said that they love him, but they haven't kept him. I think it's going to be a huge win for them in the first 2 years, but I think by the third or fourth year, they may regret the trade, because, you know, just considering his history, that teams don't necessarily, you know, they don't necessarily, you know, keep him for more than 1 or 2 years max. But I think it's a huge win for them. Obviously, they lost Jimmy Butler to Miami. He wanted to be with his friends. So I think, you know, having that core, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you're going to need Tobias Harris to step it up and be that perimeter scorer consistently. I also feel like they got Josh Richardson, which is going to be solid for them if that goes through for them. I think that Al Horford's great. He's going to be great for your bench. He can start. I think Al Horford can defend. He can shoot. He can space the floor. Who knows if Ben Simmons maybe, you know, finds his jumper, at least attempts a jumper, at least becomes a threat. I mean, that's a nice team. I think that everybody last night in the Eastern Conference got better. That was one of my huge takeaways. Everybody in the Eastern Conference got better except for the Knicks. So I think that's a huge win for the Sixers.
Speaking about Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat were set to acquire star wing Jimmy Butler to a sign-and-trade deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, according to Woj. On ESPN, Butler would get the full four-year max for $142 million. Philadelphia was going to receive Josh Richardson in exchange for the deal. The Heat were also expected to send forwards Kelly Olynyk and Derrick Jones to the Dallas Mavericks in the trade, per Mark Stein of the New York Times. However, Tim Cato of The Athletic reported that there was a misunderstanding in the deal with Miami attempting to send guard Goran Dragic to Dallas. You think this deal will come through?
I think it should if both team managers will work it out. But I'm not going to assume the deal gets done. So if the deal gets done, I mean, obviously, you're the Mavericks. You're getting a lot of European players. You're getting Goran Dragic. You're getting Luka. You already have Kristaps Porzingis. So you signed to a five-year, $158 million extension. I think that would be great for them. It's, you know, because, you know, the international players seem to be able to work together. They seem to be able to blend, because I don't know if this is true, but I'm sure he's played with Goran Dragic and they've played together, so they have somewhat an understanding of how each other play. And I think for the Miami Heat, they've always struggled like closing games in the fourth quarter. They are a good team, but they struggle closing games because they don't have that guy that's going to put them over the edge. They always in close games, they always right there, but they never have that guy that's going to put you away. So I think that's great for them. It allows them to unload some of their contracts in 2016. Because in 2016, I feel like they overspent on Whiteside, Wayne Ellington. They overspent, even though he's a good shooter. I feel like in 2016 they overspent, so hopefully it allows them to clear some money off the books and sign a good player that can close some games for them late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the deal is most likely to get done with Miami and Dallas trying to decide how to match salaries. Now, if Butler does go to Miami, which is most likely, and obviously Richardson going to Philadelphia, will Butler improve Miami's chances? Like, how do you view that deal?
I think Butler would definitely improve Miami's chances, because the problem with Miami in the last couple years is that they don't have a closer. They're always right there. Coach Spoelstra really coaches his guys with Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo. They have talent on the roster. The problem is that they struggle when they have to close games. They always compete on the defensive end. They're always in games. They just struggle closing some of those games against a team. I think against Miami last year, against a team like the Warriors actually have a lot of talent. I was watching that game. I'm like, you know, Miami had a close in this game. Josh Richardson had scored like 30-plus points. If Miami had a close in that game, you know, they probably could have won that game.
How about Richardson for Philadelphia? Would that help out the Sixers a lot more? Like, where do you see that whole chemistry there?
I think it would be great for the Sixers. I think it gives them length. I saw a potential lineup of Simmons, Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and Embiid. I think Al Horford can switch. Embiid's dominant if he stays healthy. Tobias Harris has to be your best perimeter scorer. Hopefully Ben Simmons at least attempts a jumper. I think that's great for them. Josh Richardson could defend on the perimeter, and he can also knock down shots. He can dribble. I think that's a lot of versatility. Everybody in the team is at least 6'6", so I think it poses problems on the defense. I think you could be a top six, top seven defense, even maybe even higher. I think that could be great for them.
Also, Clippers re-signed Beverly for 3 years for $140 million. I mean, for 3 years for $40 million. What do you think about that move?
I think it's great for the Clippers. I'm glad they were able to re-sign him. Hopefully that it helps them solidify their bench. I was worried that they actually might lose him, because there's a lot of playoff teams that can use a dog like Patrick Beverly, who's really good in the defensive end. I think that it was great for the Clippers that they were able to bring him back, because that's obviously a rough rider. He's obviously a good defensive player. He's very experienced. He's 31. He's been in the league for a while. I think it was great that they were able to bring him back and get him for the price that they were able to get him for.
Bojan Bogdanovic going to the Jazz. What do you think about that?
I think the Jazz are having a very good last month and a half. Yeah. Obviously, you know, getting Mike Conley, and now they're getting a shooter in Bogdanovic. I think they're really surrounding Donovan Mitchell with some talent. I like what the general manager is doing over there. So I think that they are obviously helping Donovan Mitchell. They got Bogdanovic, another shooter. You got Mike Conley, another ball handler. You got Rudy Gobert, defensive player of the year. They're building something there. Quinn Snyder can coach. I think they can, you know, make it a second round, maybe even Western Conference Finals.
I was going to say that. I think they're definitely going to be at least a very top seed in the West. But Western Conference Finals, very doable. I mean, if the Blazers made it there, I mean, anyone could, you know, fill those slots. Elephant in the room, Kawhi Leonard, wants to meet with Magic Johnson and also with the Lakers front office. How close do you think this could happen?
I think I was told yesterday. I mean, Chris Broussard and Chris Haynes. I mean, yesterday I was staying up like yesterday, and Chris Broussard and Chris Haynes were reporting that the Laker thing is, you know, there's a strong likelihood. You know, the guy I follow on my Instagram, he says Kawhi Leonard will be meeting with the Lakers today. The communication has been positive so far. So basically the Lakers thing is real. I mean, he was asking the Lakers about, did you want to trade for me? And also, I think the Lakers thing is real because I think Kawhi Leonard has the opportunity to play with Anthony Davis and LeBron. And I think it would be extremely hard for him to turn that down. He wants to play in the Western Conference. I think Toronto's been great, but I think he wants to play in the Western Conference. And I think, you know, the Lakers, continuing by the day, they have a strong fit to Kawhi. I think you have a chance to build something special. And I also think that I've seen if Kawhi comes, there's a possibility that they could be getting Curry's younger brother. They could get down the buyout, and then more people will follow. So I think it would be great from the Clippers angle. I mean, they won 48 games last year. They took the Warriors to 6. So if they get him, I mean, they can go Western Conference Finals, maybe even the Finals. And for the Raptors, it allows them to continue that build with Pascal Siakam, Danny Green, if he returns, that I think they would be right there. It would be a championship favorite. Coach Nick Nurse is, you know, still there. Masai is still going to be there. He's still going to be building. He's still going to be getting that team better. So, I mean, if he stays or if he goes to both LA teams, it's a win for Kawhi because, I mean, he's won two finals MVPs.
Yeah, that's something that has been, you know, I mean, before last year, before the trade, Kawhi has always wanted to go to LA. So this is nothing new. This is something that could have happened. Of course, you know, winning a championship, we thought that might slow it down. You know, he might stay in Toronto. He sees something special. But Kawhi asking for a meeting for LA, that's pretty big. Obviously, between LA, the Lakers, Clippers, and also the Raptors, what pecking order do you put these teams for Kawhi to go to?
I think more and more by the day, I know I said Clippers, but I think more and more by the Clippers, I think the Lakers are 1A, I think the Raptors are 1B, and I think the following is 1C, because I think the Lakers, increasing by the day, there's too much smoke not to believe that. I mean, Chris Broussard was reporting yesterday. Chris Haynes is also reporting yesterday, and some very trusted reporters reported yesterday. So I think the Lakers are really growing on Kawhi. I think he has the opportunity to go to his third team, maybe finals MVP. I think a lot of people are necessarily saying he's going to be the third option of the Lakers. I don't think it's all the way true, because even though Anthony Davis and LeBron is there, I think Kawhi can still be the number one option on nights where LeBron has a night off. I also think that Anthony Davis could play the third option. You can just have a night where you just switch roles. So I don't think necessarily that he should just be labeled the third option.
Yeah, I agree. I really do think LA is probably a number one right now choice for him. Maybe the Raptors second. I think if it's, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Another big move, people were kind of surprised, was Derrick Rose to Detroit. What were your thoughts about that?
I didn't really have a lot of thoughts about it, but I feel like it's a good pickup for Detroit. It gives them, you know, some backcourt depth. I didn't really have a lot of takeaways on it, but I think it's a good pickup for Detroit. I'm glad Derrick Rose back in the league, considering, you know, the injury he suffered against the Sixers. So I think that it allows Derrick Rose to go and, you know, spend some of his, I think it's final, some of his good years left with where he has some good athleticism before he hits the outside of 30. So I think it's a good pickup for Detroit. It allows them to get another veteran. I don't really know what it does for the roster, because I don't know if they're rebuilding or because they really lack shooting. So it's a good pickup for Detroit.
Another move we forgot to talk about, Kemba Walker going to the Celtics. He said he's done 100% with the Charlotte Hornets, but he wants to play in a team that could win a championship. What are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Oh, my thoughts on it is it's great for Kemba. Obviously, he hasn't made the playoffs. He hasn't made the playoffs in his, years in the league. So I think it's great for him. It allows him to play with Jason Tatum. I think it allows for him to play with Jalen Brown. I also think Danny Ainge is a smart executive. He's one of the best executives in the league. You're losing Al Horford, but it allows for him to play with a young core. It allows for him to play with a foundation and Brad Stevens, who coached at Butler and is now doing a good job at the NBA level. I think he fits well in the system. I think they ingratiate Kemba in the system. I also think that him and Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, they are a little more, Kemba maybe is a little more open in the locker room. I don't think you see a lot of that locker room trouble, but it's to be determined. I think their system could complement one another. I think, you know, Kemba can benefit from a Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, vice versa. And I think it works because I think Kemba's going to be more hungry. He's never been in the playoffs before. I think that's going to work. Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum not having Kyrie there all the time, I think that's not going to wear them down. I think they're going to play better. I think Brad Stevens is also going to have more of a purpose this year because people are calling him Golden Boy. Saying 2 years ago, they said he could be better than Popovich. I think he's going to have an edge. Danny Ainge is going to come back with more hunger. So I think you can see a lot better Celtic team than what people are talking about. They can win a round or two. I don't think they're going to be championship, but I think they can win a round or two. It's reasonable.
Yeah, for sure. Kemba Walker joining the Celtics doesn't lose the chemistry. I think, you know, getting him and to replace Kyrie Irving is it's a very good thing. So I think that brings a lot. It keeps the chemistry. Obviously, they don't have Al Horford, like the big man there, but we'll see what happens next year. And of course, another move that we thought yesterday was really good was the Pacers getting Brogdon, $85 million deal for 4 years. What are your thoughts about that?
I thought it was a great move. I thought the Pacers, I mean, it went so under the rug. I felt like the Pacers really did an outstanding job. I mean, Victor Oladipo is going to be back next year. You got a nice coach in Nate McMillan. Brogdon is a really underrated player in this league. He can defend. He's 50-40-90 last year. He had over 15 points a game. 50-40-90 club, 50% from the floor, 40% from three, 90%. I think he's a really good defender. He's an underrated ball handler. I think it's a really good move. You could start him with Victor Oladipo. And I think this is a really good move for the Pacers. He's going to fit nice.
Yeah, the Pacers are definitely going to be, really well off with Oladipo and everyone else there. So, and also Chris Middleton resigned with Milwaukee. I'm glad that happened. Kailu?
Yeah, I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we're going to finish off this free agency episode. Is how did the Brooklyn Nets pull this off? When did this start? When did this all happen? Kailu, tell us, what was the secret sauce?
I think it was honestly good management, building a strong culture. I think Brooklyn not having their picks in the first 3 years before Sean Marks. I think Sean Marks has done an incredible job of building Brooklyn. I also think Kenny Atkinson, a lot of people saw, you know, Brooklyn's culture last year. I think Brooklyn did a great job ingratiating the culture last year. They had a lot of fun. Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell, Jared Dudley, all of them had a lot of fun last year. So I think, you know, they did a really good job of building this culture, building this Brooklyn mentality. So I think they really did a good job. I also think that it helped that Kevin Durant, you know, wanted to come to the city. But I think that they did a really good job of, you know, building this culture up, building an identity, building trust, building a good culture. I think a lot of people talk about culture all the time, but I think they really did a good job of building a young core. I think that helped them, you know, chase Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, really do agree that Brooklyn definitely had this thing planned and everything else, and I think that they did a good job. Tell us your top three teams that had a good night last night.
I think Brooklyn, obviously Brooklyn had a good night. I think the Celtics had a good night. I think the Celtics had a good night last night. I think Utah had a good night last night, wow, too. Well,
you don't think Philadelphia had a good night, right?
I think Philadelphia had a good night, but I'm trying to go, like, outside the box. I think, yeah, you know, those teams had a good night.
Yeah, that's something that I have to really look at, and I think the Sixers definitely have a lot of potential. Adding another big man is definitely going to be quite interesting. Maybe just to confront Milwaukee.
Yeah, true, definitely. I think it's more wide open than a lot of people are saying it's truly wide open. I think it's really wide open. A lot of teams can win. I think there's 8 or 9 teams right now. Obviously, it's very early. It's only day one. I think it's very early. A lot of teams can win. A lot of teams have a chance to win. A lot of teams got better yesterday.
You think Golden State will finish in the top seeds next year? Or, like, where do you put them at?
I think I don't want to rank them right now because I think it's too early and it's only been day one. But I think they're definitely going to be good because I think – I don't know about top seed because things are, you know, yet to be determined. But I think they can be a great team. I think that, you know, D'Angelo Russell, you know, is going to be rejuvenated. I also think Draymond Green is going to be more healthier. I think Steph Curry is going to come back with a vengeance. That Clay should come back later in the year if he does. I think, I don't know about a top seed, but I think they can get a 5 or 6 seed if we were acting like right now before any of the moves, you know, more moves get made.
Yeah, it could be quite interesting. You know, teams are shifting. New teams are moving up. They're getting stronger, better. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Kawhi is still out in the open. He's the biggest player right now out as a free agent. We'll see what happens, hopefully this week. But anything else before we head into predictions?
No.
Okay, let's go for World Cup, USA versus England.
I think USA keeps their winning ways going. They obviously beat France, which is a really good opponent. So I think USA continues in the semifinals.
Major League Baseball, the Cubs at the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I think the Cubs continue their winning ways going. Obviously, the Milwaukee Brewers are right behind them. So I think the Cubs just got to continue their winning ways. And this is the time, July 1st, where you got to start to close out the All-Star break. Well, I think the Cubs look to take advantage against teams in the 500. They got a nice schedule coming up. So I think the Cubs, you know, definitely take advantage of that.
And Angels at the Texans.
I think the Rangers win. They have a really good offense. They had a lot of homers.
Texans,
they had
a lot of Rangers. Homers. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I think they win that game. I think they're very good at home. They're 28-15, so I think the Rangers win that game. They have Mike Minor pitching. He's 8-4 with a 2.40 ERA. I think the Rangers combination of the ballpark is expected to be kind of hot tonight. So I think the Rangers, a lot of balls fly out of the ballpark. I think it's an offensive game tonight. But I think that the Rangers win. They're at home. They're playing well. They're 28-15 at home, like I said. They score a lot of runs, so I think they win tonight.
And random question, what is your favorite sandwich to get from Burger King?
I don't really like Burger King. I'm not really a Burger King person. I'm more of a Wendy's and McDonald's.
There you go. Kailu, how can people reach you online to talk about Kauai?
They can reach me at KailuBorden12 on Twitter, and they can reach me on Instagram at KailuB123.
And you can follow us on the Sportscast, thesportscast.net, or at the Sportscast1 on Twitter. We'll be following free agency. A lot of the big names were announced yesterday. There's one big name out there, Kauai, and he's taking his time. Yeah, he has some options, but you know, people say that this NBA free agency might have been one of the best ever.
I definitely agree with that. I think there was a lot of moves, even moves that I didn't see, even extensions. Like, there was so many moves yesterday. Like, even extensions, the Lillard extension. I think, obviously, I saw that coming. But I think there was under the radar. I didn't see Brogdon going to Indiana. I didn't see Redick going to New Orleans. There was a lot of moves. I mean, I don't know about greatest ever, so I have to look up some of the lists and see, like, where ultimate plays. But I think it's definitely up there. I think it was great. I think it was fascinating. A lot of extensions, a lot of people moving. Free agency always gets hyped, but sometimes there's not really a lot of action. I think yesterday there was a lot of action, a lot of drama, a lot of suspense. I think it was great yesterday.
It was awesome. Very exciting. I was following it on Twitter for 4 or 5 hours yesterday, and I was pretty much on the edge of my seat. But yeah, the next couple of months, the NBA season doesn't start till October, so we'll definitely see the chemistry of these new teams, new rosters coming and formulating. Obviously, the real action, you know, usually is around All-Star break. So we'll see what happens. Anyways, this is the end of the Sportscast. Kailu, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it.
Oh, wait, hold on. One more thing. One of the comments says, do you think the Jazz will be really good?
I think the Jazz will be really good. I mean, picking up Mike Conley and picking up Ben Donovan, the shooter, after a really good playmaker with Donovan Mitchell. So I think a well-coached team like that and Quinn Snyder, I think the Jazz can be really good. They can go second round, maybe Western Conference Finals. We'll see how it plays out in the next couple of days and going to training camp. Obviously, you know, things are subject to change. But I think the Jazz are going to be really good. You know, there's a lot of teams competing. A lot of teams think that they should have a chance, and they actually do. If you have one star, maybe a second star, and you have a nice role player, you definitely have a chance. It's wide open. Golden State's hurt. The Lakers don't have a lot of depth. The Western Conference is wide open. The East is open if Kawhi leaves. I mean, I think it's wide open. Right now.
I do agree. That's definitely one of the themes of this show. It's going to be a wide open NBA. You know, no one's guaranteed, but yeah, I do agree the Jazz will be really good, and you know they might make it to the Western Conference. Anyways, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it as always.